You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, here again with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
I am doing pretty darn good. Vince, how you doing?
The same, Jeff. Baseball, like I'm going to say it every day, baseball is another day closer to being available to us, and I hope that we keep moving in that way.
Absolutely.
All right, today we're going to talk about the Dodgers, obviously a little bit about a new guy in camp, a couple of people on the injured list, and then get into the inner squad game and Max Muncy's comments on the new batter's eye. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, we'll start off with the good news that Tony Gonsolin is in camp and would appear to be all healthy and all ready to go. Again, we're not sure exactly what the issue was with him, but either way, he's back.
Yeah, and like we said, he was in the not at liberty to say category, so you kind of assume it was somehow related to COVID, but we don't know if that was, you know, health concerns or a positive test or somewhere in between. And so, either way, it's good to have him there in camp. Like we said yesterday, he was one of the – he and Baez and Jansen are kind of the three who haven't shown up yet who we are – really anxious to, and obviously Gavin Lux, who we're expecting to play a big role on this year's team. And so having him in camp now, get him ready to play a big part on this season, assuming it happens, is a very good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the flip side of things, we had three guys placed on the injured list without any actual injuries mentioned to us by Dave Roberts, Zach Rex, Cody Thomas, and Edwin Uceta. Edwin Uceta was one of the names on the report last week, along with Keibert Ruiz, about players that tested positive for coronavirus or COVID. So that, you know, we're not going to put him in that category, but it's a potential that he's part of that and that those other two may be part of it as well.
Yeah, that report had said, had named a couple specifics and said 10 plus people, and you know, we're now at 10 people who either haven't reported or have then been put on the IL for mysterious reasons. And you know, there's not much reason to think that all 10 actually have COVID. And so I don't think that report has been proven accurate yet, but there's definitely, it seems like, if that report was smoke, we're seeing a little bit of the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there could be a few reasons, either being exposed to someone around it or symptomatic or whatever it is. But, you know, it doesn't really matter to us if they're not in, you know, until they get to camp or until we kind of find out what's the issue with them. Adding on to that, MLB, the first returns from the COVID testing is pretty good. I think it was 66 players out of all the players tested that were positive on the first go round.
Something like that, yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously not ideal, but it's pretty close to, a lot closer to ideal than not. And we would imagine that with the new, without the holiday weekend, that the testing will continue to come back quicker and quicker. So that's a good sign for the start of it. But, you know, obviously once they start traveling and all that, that's when the real test is going to come.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully they can keep it under control. None of us really have any idea if they can. Among those three names today that we heard about, none of those are guys who we're expecting to really contribute. They're all 60-man guys who, you know, we're going to – they're more depth pieces anyway. I would guess maybe you can make a case that Cody Thomas and Zach Rex might have had shots to fill some of those four extra roster spots early in the season, but it doesn't seem super likely with just looking at the depth charts. So from a baseball standpoint, not big news, but obviously from a personal standpoint, we wish the best for them.
Yep. And then one last point before we get into our main points. AJ Ramos did a bullpen session, 30 pitches, a light bullpen session, it was noted. But, you know, all signs look good so far. He was, I forget who exactly it was, but, you know, one of the scouts or one of the coaches or someone saw him in the offseason, and that's kind of what prompted them to go after him now. And also spoke highly of him back when he was an all-star. So hopefully that can be one of those signings, kind of maybe in similar vein, potentially. Brandon Morrow was released from the Cubs. We've talked about Brandon Morrow going back to our old podcast about, you know, when the Dodgers let him walk and the Cubs signed him to that deal. And unfortunately, kind of what we had laid out as what may happen is exactly what's happened so far. So hopefully he can get back one day and get back on a big league mound, but that remains to be seen, obviously.
Yeah. The scout who found AJ Ramos and recommended him was Vance Lovelace, who actually almost fits as an obscure former Dodger. He never did play in the big leagues with the Dodgers, but in the 80s, he was actually drafted by the Dodgers in the first round in 1981, not by the Cubs, and then traded by the Cubs to the Dodgers in the Ron Say trade when the Dodgers traded Ron Say away in 1983. But he never did get to the big leagues with the Dodgers, eventually did with the Angels and then the Mariners briefly for three seasons, but now he's a scout with the Dodgers, and he's the guy who saw AJ Ramos working out and recommended bringing him in.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about Max Muncy and his comments about the new center field backdrop, but let's talk about Rock Auto real quick. RockAuto.com, there is a increasing number of makes and models, and it's impossible for all these traditional chain stores to have all the parts you're going to need. And sometimes you may go and they're out of your part, or you don't like asking questions, or, you know, you just don't want to deal with people, which is something that a lot of people have issues with. So you can go to rockauto.com and you can get anything you need for your car right there online. And the best part is that you don't have to worry about different pricings. You know, at chain stores, they have mechanics and people like yourself who may be a do-it-yourselfer have different prices. RockAuto.com has the same low prices for everyone. RockAuto.com has been serving customers online for 20 years. They're a family business, and you can get pretty much everything you need for your engine, your brakes, your lights, your oil changes, even new carpet, whatever it is, you can get it at RockAuto.com. If you go to RockAuto.com, they ask, how did you hear about us? Let them know that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. Keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, today's obscure former Dodger played a total of 10 games with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers were his last team he ever played for, and that's Oreste Marrero, or Marrero. He played first base. He threw lefty, bad lefty. He actually came up in 1993 with the Expos, played in 32 games, nothing very stand out about it, and then he didn't play again in the majors till 1996 when he came back with the Dodgers. Played in 10 games, actually, you know, had 3 hits and 8 at bats, not too bad, a 944 OPS in that limited time, but then never made his way back to the majors after that. Yeah, not too much out there about him. After he was released from the Dodgers, he played in the Atlantic League with the Bridgeport Bluefish from 2000 to 2005. Pretty much the definition of an obscure former Dodger. His birthday is Halloween of 1969. That's all I really got for him.
Yeah, I've never heard of this guy. And when I looked at the timeline, it makes sense because his entire Dodger career, he played from June 18th to June 23rd of 96, and then September 4th to September 25th. And I left on my mission for church on June 5th of 1996. So that his entire Dodger career came during the time when I was not watching any baseball. So that's why I never heard of Oreste Marrero.
That would be a reason why you wouldn't hear about him other than him being obscure.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on. Let's get into the inner squad game first. Dodgers had another inner squad game. It was televised. I know specifically we had a question about the angles on that broadcast. And then also just, I know you watched a little bit more than I did, Jeff. So, and I know you had something about those angles. So take it away and take this where you want it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. But yeah, we did have a question from Carlos. I won't read his Twitter handle. Let's just say that it implies that that dairy products can have boobies.
That's a good way to go about it.
Oh, man. Anyway. All right, I'm going to get the giggles now. Don't you dare edit this out tonight, Vince. This is a giggle segment. And he just asked if the Dodgers have a new camera angle for the games, because like I said, it was televised. And just a couple minutes before I got his DM, I actually wondered the same thing. I thought this might look a little bit different. And so I did a little research. At the beginning of the intra-squad game, they were doing a report about Max Muncy, which we'll talk about in a minute. And while they were doing that, they were showing the batter's eye, because the batter's eye is relevant to that story. And so I pulled up a screenshot. I took a screenshot of the batter's eye from that talk. And then I pulled up the video of Justin Turner's walk-off homer in the NLCS in 2017, because there's a good view of the previous batter's eye as the ball's going over the fence. And so I found the cameraman in both spots. And basically, yes, the angle is a little bit different. It doesn't seem like it's different enough that it would be noticeable, but the fact that two of us noticed it, maybe it is. Because when you're, when you're zooming in that much, just from a couple, a couple feet can change the view a little bit. And so it looks to me like the camera is probably five to 10 feet farther towards center field, towards straight center field, because it's offset towards left center a little bit. So it's a little bit 5 to 10 feet closer to dead center, and maybe just a foot or two higher, not a ton. And so you're getting a slightly higher and a little bit more dead center angle. I don't know if I have a preference. I like the old way, and today's wasn't distracting other than the fact that I noticed it. But yeah, it does look like it, with this new batter's eye, the camera angle is a tiny bit different.
Did they have, like, does it look like cameramen were working? I didn't really get to watch any of the game.
It's hard to tell.
That could also, maybe they just have a stagnant camera out there right now and different angles, and they're just moving around.
But there's like an opening in the batter's eye that looks like where the camera is situated. And I think in this screenshot I took, I can see a silhouette of a human being back there. But I don't know for sure how they were doing it.
Got it. All right. In terms of the game, the big highlight that it was making the rounds was Edwin Rios hitting an absolute bomb off Blake Treinen, and the replacement left fielder, Francisco, one of the clubhouse attendants, making a strong throw towards home. Anything else stand out to you, Jeff?
No, not overly. Corey Seager had two hits, and Rios had two hits. They both looked good. Rios' home run was a bomb. It was actually on an 0-2 pitch, so Vin Scully would have been shaking his head. Treinen made two pretty good pitches, and then he just tried to throw an 0-2 curveball, and he hung it, and Rios did not miss it. Treinen actually looked pretty solid. For him, a lot of it is the weight of his sinker. It's hard to elevate the ball, and obviously Rios elevated it just fine. But then the next batter, Luke Rayleigh, just hit a ground ball up the middle that would have been a routine out, but it hit the bag at second base and bounced into center field. I thought Treinen looked solid, all things considered. It was his first appearance, because I don't think he ever made any appearances in spring training part one. So for the first time pitching in a while, I wasn't too discouraged. Nothing else. I was watching I kept my eye on Bellinger when he was up because he was facing a right-handed pitcher, and he still had the closed front shoulder. And so it wasn't just a Kershaw or just a lefty thing, but we still don't really know what was going on there. But, yeah, otherwise it was fun to watch guys playing baseball, you know, and it's weird. You don't know who to root for because the pitcher and the hitter. It's nice when it's like a minor league pitcher, like Mookie Betts against Marshall Kosowski. Sorry, Marshall, I was rooting for Mookie, you know. But overall, it was just it's nice to see baseball happening at Dodger Stadium. And it was kind of fun, the empty stadium, the weirdness of that. I don't know if I'll get tired of that when the games actually matter, if it'll be too weird. But for today, it was fun to have some baseball to watch and to kind of watch it with Twitter friends, you know, everybody commenting on the same stuff again, reminding me of baseball.
Baseball is certainly getting back. And the other part of it that goes along with it is the batter's eye, which you mentioned a little bit earlier, which we alluded to earlier. And Max Muncy had a Zoom conference with the media. They asked him about his injured finger. He said it was a ball up and in that came up on him, hit him in the finger. He said he couldn't really see the ball because of the new batter's eye. Dave Roberts came and spoke later and said that a few other players had mentioned the same thing. So, you know, I immediately took that as home field advantage. The Dodgers will have 3 weeks to figure it out hitters-wise and kind of, you know, find the intricacies of the new one. And all the hitters that come into Dodger Stadium the rest of the year won't have that kind of time to adjust. So I'm going to put it on the side of home field advantage right now.
Yeah, maybe. It depends on what the issue is, because there's only so much you can do to adjust. I mean, the batter's box is where it is. And so if it's just that it comes out of the batter's eye differently, that's one thing. But if there's actually blind spots in the batter's eye that the Dodgers need to address and correct, then those corrections will apply to both teams equally. It was kind of funny because a few hours before any of this came out, I had actually gotten a DM from one of our listeners, Doug Reynolds, who sends us a lot of good stuff, at CRCL805, if you're interested. And he had asked me about the batter's eye. He said, I'm curious if the new batter's eye background in center field is requiring an adjustment for any of the guys. And so, this was first thing when I woke up this morning. He sent it at 8:23 a.m. Pacific time. Yes, I'm in Mountain Time, and yes, I slept past 9:30, and don't judge me. But I had already texted a couple of the Dodger players and heard back from Will Smith before any of this Max Muncy stuff came out. And Will Smith, I asked him, I said, have the change at the stadium changed the hitting experience at all? Specifically, the changes to the batter's eye and center field, is it noticeable from the plate? And he said, no, it really doesn't change much. It looks pretty nice for what they did. And then it was just an hour or two after that that the Muncy stuff came out. And so, I don't know, Vince, it might be worth bouncing a couple ideas around why it might be different for Muncy than for Smith, you know, for the couple noticeable differences. Smith is a right-handed hitter, Muncy's a left-handed hitter. And so I guess there's a chance that it could be different for a lefty than for a righty. It's mostly uniform out there and symmetrical and stuff, so I don't know why that would be, but that's a possibility. They're I think Smith and Muncy are both about the same height. It's not like they're coming from vastly different angles. They're both somewhat short for big league ball players. I don't know. What thoughts do you have?
Yeah, my main thought is maybe the time of day. If it was earlier in the day, the time Muncy got hit, or the time these guys saw it, then maybe that might play an issue. You know, it's like I said, it's a little lower. We're used to the big old backdrop, and now they kind of have lower because they're going to have fans walking across right there. Maybe Will Smith is a little more used to it from catching, although that's at a lower angle, so that, you know, could debunk that right away. Or I don't know. There's a bunch of things that could go wrong, but I want to say maybe it's the time of day. Maybe the light hits it weird, and you know, the Dodgers, it's hard to plan for that without having people actually test it out, and that's what's getting done right now. Although there was a lot of guys working out during the day before they got into the actual summer camp and doing some live BP. We didn't really hear anything, although we might have not had anyways. But whatever it is, I'm sure, you know, Max Muncy said that that pitchers are pretty happy about it. But we'll see if they do anything to rectify it, or maybe it won't even be an issue because they're going to play mostly night games anyways for this season. But, I can't really think of anything too much without having a better view of it.
Yeah, and I'm looking right now at the screenshot I took at the beginning of the intra-squad game today, which was around the time that games are going to start, and there's almost no sunlight hitting it. There's just the top right corner of it, you know, closest to the right center field bleachers, has some sunlight on it, and it definitely does look like maybe it is a little bit more reflective than what they used to have, because what they used to have seemed to really not be reflective at all. I mean, it looked like a black hole out there. And what they have now maybe is a little bit more reflective, but like you said, the time of day, I could see that maybe being an issue in a day game, but hopefully it won't be in night games, because it's mostly out of the direct sunlight by the time the games are going to start. You had also mentioned maybe just that Smith, being a catcher, sees it more. And so maybe his eyes have adjusted to it more, because he doesn't just have his time standing in the batter's box to get used to it. He also has his time squatting behind the plate. And the fact that he doesn't have as much experience with the old Dodger Stadium batter's eye, because he only had half a season with the Dodgers rather than two seasons like Muncy had.
Yeah, those are all part of it. We'll see what happens as we move forward. But that was definitely an interesting little thing, and something that I don't know if we mentioned it, but definitely was mentioned when we kind of saw that layout of what the new stadium renovations were going to look like.
Yeah. I had also texted Matt Beatty and asked him about it, and I haven't heard back from him, and I'm thinking maybe I won't now that it has kind of become a thing. But, you know, if he does, he would have a different, because he's also a left-handed hitter, and so I'd be interested to see if he does respond to me, if he has a different viewpoint than Smith does. But I suspect that now that it has become a little bit controversial, he will choose not to answer that question.
Yeah, Max Muncy tried to dance around it after he brought it up.
Specifically, he wouldn't say who the pitcher was. I think it was Vesse that asked him, and Muncy just totally ignored that part of the question, which also might have given us some clue too, because maybe it's a, you know, right-handed pitcher. Because the one other thing that I didn't mention was the spot where the camera is. There is a little bit of sunlight coming through from behind the batter's eye there, and so, you know, I could maybe see, it's hard to tell the angles, but maybe a right-handed pitcher pitching to a left-handed hitter, the ball might come right out of that spot, maybe, but I don't know for sure. That's just totally a guess, but
yeah, we'll see as the season goes or as time goes. All right, Jeff, I think that's all we got for today. You got anything else before we head out?
No, there was a lot of fun stuff happening in that intra-squad game and just in general, but nothing that we need to harp on.
Yeah. So we will be back tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back to close out the week tomorrow, talking about whatever else, what other new news comes up from the Dodgers. We're on a good pace right now with having stuff to talk about every day instead of us having to think about what we're going to talk about. So that's good. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcast. Apple is the key there if you have it, even if you don't use it. Rating and review on there as well. We always accept those. Tell your friends, tell your family. We're going to keep saying it. Dodgers season is coming up. We've already seen our numbers tick up a little bit. Hopefully that's because your word of mouth. So if that is the case, please keep doing so, and we'll keep thanking you for it. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Our DMs on all those places are open. Other ways to contact us are email lockedondodgers@gmail.com or voicemail, text at 323-863-LOCK. That's 5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car. Or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We will talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!